So you're just going to say your name, turn left, turn right, and that's it.
I was auditioning to be Britney Spears' stand-in for a Japanese shampoo commercial. This was possibly the quickest audition of my life. I was in the room for a whopping 5 seconds. I did what was asked and went on my merry way. Now that I was no longer working a 9-to-5, having drunk many cups of ambition, I had my days free again. It was a beautiful day out, so I decided to grab a matcha latte and walk along the High Line. The High Line is a garden built along an old elevated railroad track, and it's a must-do if you have never visited the city before. You get to experience flowers and art installations in the foreground, and in the background, the city's notorious skyline. I sat down on a bench to sip my latte. I love a matcha with oat milk. Yum. God, was I always this pretentious? All around me, people were snapping pictures for their social media accounts. I decided to do the same. I switched to camera mode, held my phone up high, and tilted it down to make my eyes look bigger, and I pursed my lips and posed. I didn't like any of these pictures. I looked like Bob Cratchit. I tried a soft smile in my next batch. Voila! That one would do. I added a filter and posted it. Hashtag Highline, hashtag matcha, hashtag grateful for days like this. As it was uploading, I couldn't help but feel I was fooling myself and sharing a lie. Yes, it was lovely to not be at work at 2 in the afternoon. And yes, this oat milk fucking latte was the bomb. But what about this morning? I had seen a woman get beaten until she was black and blue on the subway platform. And as my subway car left the station, I don't even know if anyone intervened before it was too late. I tried to not go down a rabbit hole with this one. Be a New Yorker about it, I thought. This shit happens all the time. I felt like a crap human being. I looked down at my phone to see my post had already gained some likes. Fuck me! Even Arrow had liked my post. That's weird. And James? What the fuck? It's like they are all conspiring as one. And just then, as if they really were all in sync and got their man periods together, my phone started to ring. It was Lewis. When it rains, it pours.
Hey you, how are you?
Hey Halls. God, I miss that accent.
His voice and the way he spoke was cool, sexy and modern.
Aw, that's sweet of you to say. What's up?
I think I was trying to sound equally as cool. I failed miserably, but the intention was there.
Not a lot. Still recovering. Listen, I was thinking I'd come to New York once I get the all clear to travel.
Oh my God. He wants to come and see me.
That would be fun. I'd love that.
I think I sounded too needy.
Cool. I should know by the end of the week, so I'll keep you posted.
Cool.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
I am a person who's rarely lost for words, and for some reason, I didn't know what else to say. The shittiest day had just become the most amazing day. I wanted to jump up and down, but didn't want to spill the latte and waste the $6 it cost. I couldn't help but feel like this was it. All the shitty times were at an end. Maybe I'll live happily ever after with Lewis, and maybe I'll get to do a shampoo commercial and hang out with Britney Spears.
It's Britney, bitch.
We would hit it off right away, of course, and become besties. We would post a picture of us together and hashtag it, hashtag we are Britney, bitch, and then she would be a bridesmaid. Whoa, okay, maid of honor at mine and Lewis's wedding. Just as I was envisioning my bachelorette party arranged by Britney, something landed on my head. It was heavy, but also wet. It kind of hurt when it hit me. I felt my hair. People were looking and pointing. Some were trying not to laugh. They were most likely British tourists. And others appeared to be grossed out. Had a seagull just shat in my hair? We were by the Hudson River after all. Someone approached me.
Are you okay?
I think so. Ooh. I laughed to make light of whatever this situation was. When in doubt, laugh, don't say oh. Did a bird just poo in my hair? If so, I should buy a lottery ticket. He's lucky. I looked towards the British tourists because they knew what I was talking about. Am I right?
No. Here's a tissue.
Oh, okay. Thanks. What is it?
Well, it looks like a baby dead bird and an egg.
Oh, right. I felt my hair and grabbed whatever remained still in it. There, in my hand, were fragments of a blue and brown speckled shell, an unborn tiny bird, membranes, and blood. I wanted to puke.
Well, this is ironic.
I wiped with a tissue. I just auditioned for a shampoo commercial with Britney Spears. Could do with some shampoo now. Oops. Once home and showered, I sat on my sofa trying to make sense of the day's highs and lows. One moment I was feeling euphoric from doing what I love more than anything in the world, performing, or in this case, auditioning, and next the city would present something cruel and harrowing. Was life like this out of New York? Was I attracting these events? If I was responsible for all that I'm witnessing, how do I shift my energy so that I no longer encounter harmful situations? Ugh, almost 8 years of this turbulent way of living. I wasn't sure how much longer I could keep going or how much more I could take. Then, as if the world knew I needed some encouragement, my phone lit up with a text. It was Lewis, the other euphoric high of this day.
I can't wait to come to New York, XX.
A week later, I was blasting out Laura Branigan's Gloria during my last spin class of the morning. I loved playing the classics.
Calling Gloria!
I started singing on the microphone. Oof, today was a sweaty one. I looked around at the class participants. All of them were seriously focused, pedaling the stationary bikes as if their lives depended on it. Most of the class participants were the menopause gang. They, for some reason, hated to sweat. I never understood the mentality of those who go to a high-intensity workout class and yet freak out the second their bodies start to heat up. I mean, it's physics, for fuck's sake! After class, I planned to go for a run in Central Park. I packed up my belongings, said goodbye to any remaining students, and pulled out my phone to find the perfect playlist to run to. As I looked at my phone, I had a missed call from a local number. They had left a voicemail.
Hello, this is a message for Holly Hudson. I'm calling from Goldwyn and Broom's law office. We have also sent you an email. Please contact us at your earliest convenience.
I opened my emails and found the email of reference sitting in my spam folder.
It is with sadness that I inform you of the passing of Robert Goldwyn, Esquire, and the closing of this law firm.
What the fuck? Robert Goldwyn had been my immigration lawyer, and he wasn't that old. I continued reading.
We would strongly suggest that you reach out to a skilled immigration attorney as quickly as possible so you do not miss any deadlines with USCIS. Please note that with USCIS, there are rarely, if ever, any extensions. Please note the office is officially closed. However, if you need to retrieve your physical file, please arrange to pick it up in the immediate future.
None of this made any sense. It was also all rather strange timing given I was about to reapply for my green card. I had finally managed to save the money to do so. Well, thank heavens for Google. I typed Robert's name into it, and seconds later, several news articles appeared. New Jersey lawyer, 43, arrested for fraud. What the actual fuck? I clicked on the first article and started to read. Turns out there was a reason my first green card application was denied. It was odd that they never allowed me to see the paperwork filed. My entrusted lawyer, who felt like a friendly uncle, who appeared to be a family man and all-around good human,
Uncle Buck,
was a liar. He had stolen another lawyer's identity and filed over 300 visa applications under it. The articles described all his crimes of fraud in detail and stated he could be sentenced for up to 30 years in prison. I spent the next hour in the changing room of the spin studio reading article after article about Robert. My head was reeling. I remembered being in his office. He was the kind of guy that you wanted to hug as opposed to shake hands with when you greet them. He was warm and friendly. I remembered seeing all the pictures of his family that were dotted around his desk and cabinets. His twins. I then stumbled across a blog from another performer. It began with,
"My condolences for Robert Goldwyn's wife and two young sons. Robert, my immigration lawyer, out of fear of being behind bars and overloaded with guilt for what he had done, ended it by noose."
He had bloody hung himself. I spent the next month teaching myself to become an immigration lawyer. I had gone to collect my file from the law office and use that as some sort of guidance for compiling my own case. I barely slept and spent hours trying to create the 1,000-page document so that I could become a permanent resident of the United States. I had fallen deeply in love with New York and still planned to accomplish my dream of being in a Broadway show. After what felt like forever, I had completed it. A great feat. I sat down to enjoy this moment.
I look down at the 1,000 pages stacked neatly on top of each other, organized and labeled correctly. And less than a few seconds after it was perfectly complete, Geronimo came running out of Yvette's door with such a speed, he skidded on our wooden floor, crashing straight into the mountain of papers. The pages flew up into the air and cascaded down all around me like snow during a New York winter. I screamed at Geronimo and cried. Once I had the energy and had regained my composure, I began to yet again rearrange the document into chronological order. Fuck my fucking life! Once having mailed my green card papers, I immediately felt high on life. I was excited for what the future had to offer, and I was confident that I had presented a good enough case to get it approved this time. I was so idiotically high on this wild ride that is life, I decided to attempt to run 12 miles. Now, I know to you marathoners this is just a standard daily jog, but this would be the furthest I had run to date. I started in Harlem, in this dirty old part of the city, where the sun refused to shine. People tell me there ain't no use in trying. I had created the perfect playlist to zone out with, a playlist that I could move my body to in the needed monotonous rhythm for the right cadence. Everything from the Animals to the Lumineers was included in it. A few miles later, I was in Central Park. I was able to lose myself in my thoughts. I schemed about how I would further my career by taking classes and trying to meet casting directors. Once I had that plan mentally sussed, I started to think about the other thing that was usually on my mind. Boys. I wondered if I would ever see Arrow again. We had ended it on such weird and original terms. Me having a meltdown over pizza. I like to think we were both still keeping tabs on each other via social media, as opposed to me just stalking his account. Would we reconnect? I couldn't help but feel it was over. Oh. He had been my other biggest love thus far. And then there was James. Well, he had moved to LA. Maybe I would be forced to move to LA as a result of booking a television show and we would reconnect? Perhaps he may have matured a little and now knew how to wine and dine a lady. And then of course there was Lewis. Oh, Lewis. Lewis and I spoke nearly every day. He was a gent. Sadly, he had still not gotten the A-OK to fly, so we were yet to find out if we would live happily ever after. Last night, he sent me pictures of his Miami mansion. It had the most epic and giant Christmas tree that was up all year round. I love a decked out tree. Just as I was envisioning Miami life, I stopped to wait for the traffic lights to change to red. A car slowed down. I started to cross the street. As I was halfway across the road, the driver of the car that had stopped pulled out his phone. Not paying attention, he began to accelerate. He hit me with his car and I fell to the ground. The next few minutes felt like an out-of-body experience, or what I imagine that to be like. I had a sudden rush of adrenaline. You know when you hear stories of crazy cat ladies who suddenly have the strength to pick up a burning car to save their most beloved tabby? Well, this was me. I bounced up. Next, I remember having my foot on the passenger door as both of my hands gripped the door handle. I ferociously tried to pull the door off. I think my intention was to unleash all of my outrage onto the perpetrator. I screamed like a She-Hulk as I tried to rip the door off. The driver wound down his window.
You almost broke my door off.
Well, you nearly broke my fucking leg! He closed the window and sped off before I managed to snap a photo of his license plate. The red light was still signaling for him to stop. He almost took out a van that was coming down the other street. Still in shock from it all, I limped all the way home. I put this down to being just another one of those incidents that happens to us New Yorkers. No biggie.
Next time on FUNYC, Holly limps it off while Lewis tries his luck in Vegas.
Are you okay sharing a room?
FUNYC, an IDC production, starring Emily Eden. Written and created by Emily Eden. Sound design and engineering by Lewis Fisher. Executive producer, Marcy Gilbert. Co-created, produced, and directed by Eric Wickstrom. Guest starring Paul Levin, Jason Udoff, Bradley Dean, Lewis Fisher, Liz Gutman, Scott Carroll.